We'll check here.
There
we go.
I'll be
Yes.
Right out, Peter.
Say, Lord Jesus,
Jesus,
you've got a plan,
to educate me today,
about the feast. I need ears
to hear,
eyes to see,
and my heart to perceive.
You're on my case.
Hallelujah.
As I was pressed yesterday to do some research, I decided to do some house cleaning out of a file drawer that I haven't touched for many years. And when I went into this particular file, there was a press in my heart because of the booth, the tabernacle. And last Sunday, Peggy and I just agreed that it was going to go up, stay up for one more week.
Amen.
Okay. So that was a choice that I kept hearing, it's got to stay. Well, I haven't gone into these files for years and years. And all I can tell you is I only have one copy of this, but down the road you'll have a copy available, so you'll have all this material. Because there's enough here of study to prove the points. I will give you the highlights, but to prove the points, the scriptures are all listed. I've had this since 1980 something, 3, 4, 5, whatever. Okay, so it's not new, but it's God. Deuteronomy 16:16 and Galatians 3:28. They typify three major experiences in which the believer must enter into before he or she can fully complete the will of God within themselves. They also typify experiencing the individual members of the Godhead in their Christian ability, Passover versus Jesus, typing our new birth, Pentecost, versus the Holy Spirit, typing our receiving, our completion in Christ. John 18:28, John 3:35, and it goes on, because there's a lot more to confirm, but I just, for time's sake. Our position in Christ will not qualify us for the tabernacling of the Father at the end of this age. Say, I will not be qualified.
I will not be qualified.
As a baby.
As a baby.
I need to mature.
I need to mature.
In Christ.
In Christ.
Again, I'm gonna repeat this now. Our position in Christ will not qualify us for the tabernacling of the Father at the end of this age. Automatically, because we believe, we must be where he wants us at the time. He wants us with all readiness, anticipation, and expectations of faith. And it goes on with many scriptures to confirm. The experienced spotlessness, hear me again, the experienced spotlessness, completion of perfection of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God are one. Within our spirit, souls, and bodies, precisely equal to the oneness that exists between Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father. So he's the firstborn of all of the above. Jesus will not and cannot return until there literally exists this kind of church. Body of Christ, a remnant in the church, will be the wife of the Lamb. The wife has to match the quality of the bridegroom. Got it? They will be the keys to the kingdom for all who receive them. They will execute judgment and deliverance to the church, then judgment to the world in all authority and all power. Ephesians 5, Isaiah 52, Zephaniah 3, and it goes on with at least 10 more. This remnant church, called man-child people, elect of God, those are, you know, the pieces to the puzzle that need to be understood. The remnant church, called man-child people, elect of God, will be so complete in Christ through the new birth, the Holy Spirit's work on the cross, they will be qualified to establish kingdom order. God's theocracy, government. Then Jesus himself will be able to return to the earth, and together we shall rule and reign as priests of the Most High God for 1,000 years. Revelation 1:6, Revelation 26, Revelation 12:5, Revelation 2, and it goes on, there's even more. I suspect that when the feast day of Tabernacles is fully come, the man-child, not baby child or Jews, not baby child or Jews. In other words, listen again. The feast day of Tabernacles is fully come. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse, I think it's 1 or 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, when the day of Tabernacles is fully alive, you will be the Holy of Holies. And that is an awakening because nobody talks about it. When he wants to be totally in control, you will have the seven spirits of God operating through you. So if you think you can keep on just humping along, hoping to make it, you ain't going to make it. When I was going through some of the material that God used me to give out to the other church, there was one word that bounced out, and I looked at it and I said, Lord, you really want me to read this? He said, it came out of your mouth, but it was me. You needed to see it now. It's a whole page. It's all typed out. Juliet had obviously passed the cassette to the person who would literally print it all out. And I'll tell you something, it put goosebumps on my goosebumps, because that prophetic message is talking about the church today. And that was in 1995. So I brought it upstairs and I had my wife read it, and she says, oh my God. And I said, now you see the fruit of that word given in 1995 and everything that happened to those that were chosen. The remnant is still alive.
Amen.
Because they chose to follow the leader, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay? So, I'm going to repeat it again. I suspect that when the feast day of Tabernacles is fully come, the man-child, not baby child, not Jews, will literally be birthed and caught up into a completion of God, and their likeness, Father, Son, and Spirit. They will appear or stand on Mount Zion, following the Lamb wherever he goes. They will be the saviors of God, Obadiah 21. That's very important. Obadiah 21. Who will judge the kingdom of flesh, all flesh. They'll be Joel's army, sounding an alarm in all his holy mountain. Nothing will escape them, and all peoples will be anguished because of them. Before them, the earth will shake, and the sun and the moon will grow dark. The Lord will utter his voice out from in them. They will be his perfect strength and word. This day of the Lord will be very great and awesome. Who can endure it? Revelations 12:5, Revelations 14:1-5, Obadiah 21, Joel 1, verses 2 through 11. Now, I gave you all of those, so you'll have some homework on that one. This is why the feast of the Lord should be kept. It's in these times, periods, or days of the feast that God gives new insight, new understanding, new experiences through the Holy Spirit working in our midst. We are doing his work, not just believing it. I'm inviting all who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Deuteronomy 16, etc., Leviticus 23, and Leviticus 23. The kingdom of God is now ready to appear, to be literally established in all its fullness within the earth. All scriptures, all prophecies will be fulfilled. Which one will you be fulfilled with? The first fruit people will be counted worthy to escape all. Terrible thing that is coming to pass. Luke 21 gives you Matthew 24, etc. Upon the face of the earth, they will be qualified to execute vengeance and wrath upon and all, to all things visible and invisible in the earth. Luke 21 again, Luke 13, Matthew 13, Matthew 24, Joel 2, Revelation 7, and it goes on. Come, O saints of God, his feast is ready. Will you be obedient and ready? Will you make a commitment to count all things as lost to gain the completeness of Christ? Literally. Will you take the initiative to find out what you have to do to meet God's requirement to qualify for being part of his remnant? It'll take more than believing. You'll have to know how to mix faith with what you believe. The word, the promises, will have to become the substance of your experience. This will give you absolute immunity to any form of destruction. 1 Corinthians 1:20. And Revelations 1:4. All of Israel worship was centered about these three feasts. They typify three major Christian experiences. They constitute momentous events. We must, of necessity, mix faith with their meaning in order to fulfill God's intention for us. The new covenant word is for us to become literally complete within our experience. Spirit, soul, and body with Jesus Christ. Matthew 7, Matthew 4:4, James 1:22, and Colossians 2:10. The apostles' company referred to in the Old Testament prove the truth they are declaring. They didn't apologize for making Old Testament scripture out of context, unless we understand that the whole Bible is written for us will miss the glory of that God intends for us, Romans 3. The law was a shadow of our spiritual experience, and Paul was rightly dividing the word of truth when he made some 85 references in Romans, at least 18 in Galatians, and over 100 in Hebrews. Peter gave 30 experiences in his first epistle. John gave practically 400 in the book of Revelation. God will yet restore natural Israel, but when it is, they will not be old Israel, but of the new creation Israel, the church of the living God. Romans 9, verse 6, the second part. I know I've given you a lot now, but to kind of synopsize, because believe it or not, I've got enough material here to curl all your hair, whatever's left, including mine. When I studied this, that changed my entire focus on Christianity. It created a hunger to understand the feasts, to understand what he meant by the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, and the Day of Atonement. We're still working on all these things, and it's been many years. Like I said, I've heard this material for a long time. I studied for a long time. I gave a lot of attention to what I've given here. Now, this is not the only thing, because there's a lot of others, and the Lord said, you're past that already. So I eliminated that. But I will have some copies of this for you down the road. All right? Because there's enough material to curl your hair, like I said. And it shows you the intent of Jesus, and to synopsize all of what these scriptures have in line is the experience that Jesus brought to Peter, James, and John on the mountain. And I've spoken to you about it many times. When he was on that mountain, Jesus was glorified with the glory of the Father. Okay? Yesterday, when I had that experience with the young man next door, the words that came out of Joe's mouth a few weeks back, when he said he was standing in a parking lot and he realized now that he was there not as himself, but as an anointed man of God doing a work for the Holy Spirit, touching one little woman, and then later on touching the granddaughter, if I remember correctly. But you said loud and clear, Joe, it was the first time you acknowledged that you were a man of God on a journey. Okay? And that same word came back to me after I prayed for the young man yesterday and he saw the light of God flowing into his head through my hand. Now you say, what do you mean by that? It means that when you lift up your hands and you release your spirit, something happens. It is not an action that makes you look good or to impress someone. It is to do a work by the Holy Spirit from the light that's within you, that is tabernacling in you, to radiate out into this realm of darkness. So you're not doing this in obedience to somebody giving you an instruction. You're doing it because Holy Spirit is activating you to bless and to release a blessing. Now, if the person you're praying for has no faith, whose faith is he going to use? Ours. I had a young man that I met a while back, and he was on my heart. So I connected with him with a text, and The Lord said to release a blessing to him after I got off the phone. I just sent a message asking God to bless you. And we had prayed together, so there was a little bit of a relationship. And as I lifted my hands, I could feel the anointing in my fingers. And you know what I'm talking about? If you know what I'm talking about, lift your hand. Thank you. You can literally feel the energy leaving. Okay? So about 15 minutes later, he sends back a text saying, because he's got COVID that he's been fighting, which I did not know. He says, I feel so much better already. I don't know what happened to me. I do know I'm feeling better. I said, well, all the glory goes to the Lord. But you see, if you don't mix faith when you're releasing your spirit, interceding for someone, which is what the message was on Friday night, Holy Spirit has to work in and through you in order for making room for the Father's presence to be completed in us, like this tabernacle represents. And, you know, I kind of look at this saying, how much do we have an ability to really step up to this potential? And you have to start by faith. You're not ever going to reach your goal without faith, because you can't please him without it. Okay? Will this shake your tree? The answer is yes, it will shake your tree. It will make you see that the church is asleep. Okay? When the church is asleep and they're waiting for this one to do the homework or that one to do the homework, what? The Holy Spirit's going to bypass you because you're just a bump on a log. Okay? Your accident. Why would both legs be cut off? Did you think of the spiritual attack that is on you, David?
I thought it was the enemy trying to end my career.
Not your career, my friend.
Right.
Your potential in God and your walk with God and your obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to shut off. He wants to kill you, man. And it's not make-believe. Okay? And when you realize that you have value in the kingdom beyond your natural abilities, then you're going to awaken to the reality that Papa is wanting to prepare your inner man to contain the fullness of the anointing. Just like Jesus on that mountain. He began to give glory to God. The disciples fell on the ground because he radiated the presence of the Father and the Spirit within him. Now I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
you're not going without me.
You're not going without me.
I need the fullness, of those seven spirits, operating in me and through me to change the status of this world.
Because there's a day coming
when I will be asked by Holy Ghost
to be ready
for a download from Papa.
And a fullness of Christ
will occupy this temple.
Then I will taste
of the real tabernacle
that is prepared
for those who believe.
And I'm choosing to believe.
And I activate my faith.
Do what you need to do with me.
And get through to me.
And then confirm this word.
Because it comes from your scripture.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Are there any questions?